Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. Well, we're going to do a little bit of a mini series here. I thought it might be one episode or two episodes. It's likely to be more than that. But have you ever been struck by just a verse out of the Bible or a phrase, a portion of a verse, just a little phrase here or there? You know, recently we just finished going through Revelation, and I was actually struck by a little phrase like that. In chapter 1, after going all the way through Revelation, we went back and looked at that first chapter again to sort of wrap everything up, and a couple of these things just struck me. Well, there was one I ran across here, and I wasn't really studying this. I guess it was in a cross-reference to something. You know, you're studying one thing, but then you're looking up other passages and things like that. And I ran across this phrase and this idea, and I thought, oh my, there's something really serious about that. And so I've gone back and looked at the a bigger portion of the context of that, and I thought, oh yeah, there is something to it. So we're literally going to jump into the middle of a story here, and we're going to go to Exodus 14. Exodus chapter 14. Now, if I ask you, what is Exodus about? If your response to this is about somebody exiting, you would be completely correct. Okay, Exodus, particularly this part right here, is about the Lord's people being delivered out of slavery, out of Egypt. This had been prophesied that they would be have 400 years of slavery. God told Abraham that in Genesis 15, where at the end of this, God had raised up the deliverer, Moses, and they were literally moving out. They're moving out, but they are still in Egyptian territory. Okay, they're still there. They're on the way headed there, and they're about to reach a problem, an impasse, some serious water, the Red Sea. And so the Exodus 14 has to do with the crossing of the Red Sea. And so let's just go read this, and you're going to see several things I think that are very interesting here. Exodus 14, verse 1 says this, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying," now let me just pause there for a moment. Don't lose sight of this. The Lord is instructing Moses. The Lord is speaking to Moses. He's telling him what to do. We go, well, yeah, he does the same thing, does he? He does. But in this case, remember, the Lord spoke to Moses as a friend does to a friend. That kind of thing. So here's what the Lord said to him. Verse 2, "Tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite it by the sea." Now, there's big debate over where this is, okay? Big debate whether the Red Sea was parted and what we are about to see happens in that, or if it was a sea of reeds that was parted. That's not the issue right now. The point is that God told him precisely where to tell the children of Israel to turn back and camp. They'd reached a certain point. He said, okay, I want y'all to encamp right here. And he describes exactly where it is. Then in verse 3, he tells him why. "For Pharaoh," this is still the Lord speaking, "for Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in." Okay, this is wild. So they were going, and they're going at the behest of the Lord, and the Lord is the one that's instructing. The Lord is the one who's leading, and he's leading them. So he's told them to go this way and go that way. Now he said, turn back. Turn back and camp in this particular area. And then he says, why? He says, because this is going to cause Pharaoh to say this, "Oh, those sons of Israel, they're wandering around aimlessly. They're lost. The wilderness has shut them in." In other words, they don't know where to go. That's what Pharaoh is going to think because of this. And it's really sort of a feigned move here that God is getting them to do. And then God explains why he wants this to happen to Pharaoh. Verse 4, "Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." And that's what the Lord says in the last part of verse 4. And it says, and they did so. So Moses and the children of Israel did what God told them to do. God told Moses forthrightly, point blank, what to do and why he was doing it. He's saying, go up here, turn back and go this way. Pharaoh's going to think that you're wandering, that you're lost, and that the wilderness has trapped you. And by doing this, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Also, Pharaoh is going to chase after y'all, and I will be honored through Pharaoh. So God's going to harden his heart, but then he will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army. And then the Egyptians will know that he is the Lord. So there's a couple of phrases or words I want us to look at right here. And then we're going to see them through the balance of this thing. This whole thing that I will harden Pharaoh's heart. The word harden here literally means make strong. I'm going to make Pharaoh's heart strong. But it's not in a positive sense. He says, I'm going to make his heart the way his heart is. His heart is against me. I'm going to do what we see in Romans 1. I'm going to turn him over to that. I'm going to hand him over to it. His heart is hardened. His heart will remain hardened, and it will grow in strength and in hardening. And you see it through the entire account. That's exactly what happened. And because of this, Pharaoh is going to chase y'all. But he says, I will be honored, through Pharaoh. Well, we think of honor as sort of an uplifting kind of thing, and it is. But that word is translated in a couple of ways in the scripture. The Hebrew word, it means to be heavy, to be weighty, to be hard, to be grievous. But it's also translated to be honorable, to be rich, to be glorious, to be honored. And that is exactly what's going to happen right here, is that because Pharaoh's heart is hardened, his heart is turned against God, God's will strengthen that. You reject me, go right ahead, hands you over to it. But he says, I'm going to be honored. I'm going to be proven to be weighty, proven to be grievous, proven to be glorious, proven to be honorable through Pharaoh and all his army. What's going to happen, you likely have heard the account before, but we'll see it later on in this chapter, is that they will be offered literally as a sacrifice to God. They will pursue God's children through the water, and then the water will come back upon them, and Pharaoh's army will be destroyed. It's really a form of a sacrifice unto the Lord God. So he says, I'm going to be honored through Pharaoh and through his army. And then, out of all that, then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. You know, we're going to see that this actually occurs. Thinking back on it, I've mentioned this a few weeks ago in relationship to something else with Egypt and things, but I think this is right. And it's just sort of what I think, okay? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, you know, Egypt was the pinnacle of culture, of countries, of nations. They never recovered, even to this day, have yet to recover from what happened here in Exodus 14. Pharaoh hardens his heart. God says, have at it. God says, but I'm going to be honored through Pharaoh. I will be glorified through what's going to happen with him and his army. His army is destroyed. Then the Egyptians knew, they knew that the Lord was the Most High God. But Moses and the people had to do something. They had to walk in obedience. And this little verse right here, and they did so. And they did so. Now, did they do so perfectly? Well, if you know the account, you know there's other things about to come. But just keep this in mind, because it is a phenomenal story of encouragement and exhortation for us, okay? Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.